program director. Let me greet members of the media and the people of South Africa. We are grateful of this opportunity to come and present some of the work that we've been doing. The Portfolio Committee on Trade, Industry and Competition has had a robust engagement with the department and its entities on their performance, as well as the program related to industrialization, inclusive growth, and transformation. The committee acknowledged the work that they have done, but there is also a need to develop and refine policies and implementation strategies to achieve the required economic growth, job creation, and equality in our society. Some of the areas that we have focused on, which we thought were critical for this media briefing, firstly, on just industrialization, the focus on facilitating upscale industrial growth, financing and measures to provide access to market sectors, but there is also a need to address barriers that inhibit the exportation of value-added goods, particularly the administered prices and inefficient transport logistics. And I'm happy that our colleagues from transport is here, because many of the issues hinges with the work that they're doing. Secondly, the logistics and other infrastructure, as well as pricing, therefore, that are favoring the mineral energy complex, whereas other industries such as film and digital industries could yield substantial more jobs in the economy. That's one of the shifts that we have been advocating for in the department. There's a scope for a deeper beneficiation of natural resources by the manufacturing sector to assist South Africa to diversify its export basket. However, the success of this depends on the whole of government approach, with macroeconomic and other policies actively supporting industrial policy, which I'm proud to say that the DTI is now at the helm of ensuring that there is an industrial policy for South Africa. And the effectiveness of intergovernmental relations embedded in the achievement of national objectives. The fifth area is the committee met with some of the startups which companies develop around technological advances that have possibilities of scaling up relatively in a short space of time. This emphasizes the need for investment in research, development, and innovation, as well as regulatory reforms that facilitate access to venture capital funding, intellectual property, and visas for highly skilled workers. On issues of transformation, a focus on transformation by addressing demographics of the ownership patterns and management and control of the means of production is one of the areas that we have been focusing on. Secondly, ensuring coordination for an effective industrialization and job creation to foster inclusive economic growth. Thirdly, to conduct a comprehensive review of and ramping up of special economic zone to contribute to this inclusive growth that we have been emphasizing. Ensuring that the state procurement as a tool for redistribution of wealth and inclusive economic transformation is prioritized and encourage the procurement of locally manufactured product.
Chairperson, can somebody, colleagues from the virtual platform, please mute their, or whoever is assisting us here, can you mute all of them, please, until we come to the questions. Thank you. Apologies, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. We also have had an opportunity to look at the financial sector, especially the banking. One of the critical issues that we have raised, and we're hoping that in the next quarter, we then should be able to call some of the major banks in South Africa to appear before the committee. Our assessment after we met in the joint committee with the National Treasury is that, you know, the consumption credit is easily available in South Africa, but credit for creating a business or productive funding is not available. But also the banks, they just make unilateral laws that do not make sense. And we also obviously have to hold them accountable, including some of the charges that they charge to individuals and institutions of government. So they will be appearing before us so that we can then have a conversation. What are the areas that needs to be tightened so that we were able to make progress in this regard? On the green hydrogen, This is one of the options of the energy mix as part of the just energy transition. The need to balance South Africa's need, these transitions, and we need to ensure that we can find appropriate mix. And the just energy transition, obviously, we are saying it has to be just. Doesn't have to happen haphazardly at the cost to future generations in terms of the loans that we'll be taking as South Africans. Changes in the global trade trade trends as a result of climate change, there is a mounting pressure to move towards greener energy and greener production processes to maintain competitiveness. And we're saying that South Africa will move this route. However, we need to ensure that we do so understanding our own local environment, because we also have studied other countries that are pushing for the green and some of the things that they're doing. And so we don't want to leave provinces like Mpumalanga as ghost provinces in the main. So we need to ensure that we also invest in technologies so that even our coal, we have cleaner coals that are going to be used in our coal-powered fire station, as it were. The green hydrogen offers an opportunity to enter into this developing market and establish South Africa as a significant exporter of an innovator of the benefit from existing hydrogen resources. Electric vehicle production, major export markets for South Africa's automotive have moved to the use of electric vehicle to replace petrol and diesel engine vehicle. If South Africa does not adapt to this global trend, it will be locked out in this market and will lose competitiveness unless it finds alternative export market. We're saying that the AFCFTA could be a possible market for existing productive capacity of petrol and engine vehicles in the main. The transition is we acknowledge that transition is expensive due to cost of investment in changing of the infrastructure such as the filling stations, but may offer new local market and new job opportunities. And this we had said to the department. We'll have to obviously study the contribution, as you know, that fuel and diesel in South Africa contribute about 3.2% of the GDP and employs about almost 300,000 people. So when these changes are taking place, there has to be economic value that is not going to displace our people in the main. The use of the opportunities offered to facilitate the transformation and local industry, we want significantly that, as you know, that South Africa, you know, we don't have a car that we produce. So if we're moving into the EVs, you know, we have been talking to those who are doing research and development to say, even if you've got a scooter that is made in South Africa, it will be an achievement that one can record in this regard. And the last area I want to attend on is just on the entities, and with emphasis probably on one entity. The entities that we've taken a closer look into all the 18 entities that are reporting to the Department of Trade and Industry. The observation we made is that on issues of governance, there is no framework. So we've called upon the department to ensure that there's a governance framework in which they manage the entity so that there's a seamless way in which you can see what is happening. And secondly, deal with issues of ensuring that in the boards, the senior management, all the necessary appointments are made, because there has been weaknesses in that regard. There was an emphasis with regard to the IDC and NEF. Firstly, that the NEF must be recapitalized so that it can serve the majority of the entrepreneurs who've got a lot of ideas. And secondly, that the IDC must return to its strategic mandate to support economic development in South Africa, other than the approach they had veered off and took. The other entities we have made, especially the consumer protection entities, we have made a significant observation that many of them are underfunded. As a result, you know, they have no capacity, sufficient capacity to ensure that they can discharge their services and protect consumers in the capitalist system that we're operating in. And the other entity that we made some observation is the Competition Commission, that it will have to make some significant work in some of the areas. For instance, in the committee, we've already raised the issue that there are some budget airlines that have come in They've displaced SIA in the initial phase as budget airlines, and when there were problems there, it instantly became commercial airlines, and their costs are exorbitant. They are not affordable to our people. So we'll need to do market inquiry in that regard so that we can ensure that there is fairness and our people are able to move from province to province and elsewhere where these airlines are going. And the last entity, the National Lottery, as you know, that it's one entity that has been plagued with the problems of alleged corruption and misuse of power. So especially the proactive funding. So this has given rise to the issues. What the briefing from the SIU, the Hawks, as well as the NPA that happened a couple of weeks ago, indicated to us that there is a collusion. There seemed to have been a collusion between the NLC officials and NPO and NPC, where monies that were received by these NPO and NPC were shared or transferred to accounts of certain officials or purchase of assets, which the committee characterized this as a crime of greed from those individuals. And we have called upon these institutions to make sure that they can make necessary arrest, especially to those that are involved. There's also an allegation of the collusion between some of the former board members and these NPOs. And this was evident by the transfer that was happening, as demonstrated by the SIU, between those individuals as well as these entities. There was also a very funny thing that we observed of the hijacking of these NPOs and NPCs by individuals who are not even necessarily associated with these, but they were fronting on behalf of others. And we have said that this will have to be dealt with. In terms of the status of investigation, the law enforcement agencies are investigating about 15 billion worth of crime, involving about 52 NPO NPCs. Some of the recoveries are being made, and then some of the matters are now with the NPA. Some of the matters are still with the Hawks, and so on and so on. And some of the assets have been frozen, and so on and so on. So these issues are ongoing, and we have pleaded with the law enforcement agencies to ensure that they can move with speed and conclude on these matters. But lastly, and then we have made a call to the NLC itself that in whatever activities that must be undertaken into the future, we must avoid these kind of things. We must introduce the systems of control, because it appears as if it was just a buffet that was happening there over that particular period. So we have called upon them to introduce new systems and new processes so that the rightful beneficiaries of these funds that are meant for good causes are actually going to good causes. So that's what, Comrade Chairperson, I thought I will brief the committee. But if there's any other issues of interest that will come as a question, we are equally competent to deal with those questions. Thank you very much.
We'll continue.